Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 13. And my text today is taken from verses 38 to 41. And I want to speak with you on the distinctive gospel preaching. What is distinctive gospel preaching? I don't know what word that you use in your language for the word distinctive, but if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul, writing there about the necessity, regardless of the language that is spoken, and they had many languages spoken there in the Corinthian church, just like right now we have English and we have Chichua, there may be some other languages, but the important thing, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, that even things without life giving sound, whether a pipe or a harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? That's the word, the distinctiveness of the gospel. Verse 8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, so that's the contrast to a distinctive sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? This was back in the day when they would sound a trumpet to go into battle, and you knew by the trumpet sound whether you were to charge forward or to retreat. It was important that the person sounding the trumpet did so distinctly, so there was no uncertainty. I remember growing up in Chad, Africa, waking up to the sound of talking drums. They used drums to communicate messages from village to village. I don't know whether there are still places in Africa that do that, because now we have modern technology. But back then, it was important that the person playing the drum knew exactly what beat to use, because they used it for calling people to work. They also used it to gather people for an important meeting, or it was used way back in the day to gather villages to war. If one village was being attacked by an enemy, then it called the other villages to come join in war against that enemy. It was important that the beat of that drum communicate a specific message.
General,
I can remember one time as a young child finding one of these drums out in an open space, and I began to tap on it with some of the sticks, and one of the elders of the village came out and stopped me. He said, "You're sending a confusing message. That drum is only to be used for a distinct message." I didn't know. And I must say that today there are many confusing sounds when it comes to the gospel. It's not because the gospel is confusing, but men confuse it. Men will take and speak as if they have some authority, and yet the sound is not distinct. Now remember, this message here in Acts 13, coming back to our text, began with Paul in a synagogue and the reading of the law and the leaders of that synagogue asking Paul to exhort the people back in verse 15, asking if they had any word of exhortation. So then Paul stood up and beckoned the people to give audience. Now the distinctive way of preaching of the Apostle Paul was to go back to those Old Testament scriptures, which their preachers were accustomed to preaching, but they preached the law, they preached works, they preached men's ordinances and traditions, they perverted the scriptures, whereas Paul is showing them that all of scripture has to do with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's distinctive preaching.
Paulo,
I truly believe that as preachers of the gospel, we need to study the messages that we find in the scriptures, because herein is the pattern which we follow in declaring the gospel in our day. The Prince of Preachers is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word of God. So we would do well to look at how he declared himself and his work and preach in that manner. But even our Lord, being the Word of God, in preaching would say, "What saith the Scriptures?" And he would take his hearers back to this very same word that the Apostle Paul is preaching. The prophets, the law. And how we see Paul preaching here in Acts 13 is the same pattern that we find throughout the New Testament of all of the apostles. It was pointing lost sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. And as we saw last time through Acts 13, the pattern is always what was promised in the Old Testament and what was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we preach. We take what God purposed and said he would do, and then we show how that has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not speculating with people. We're not just tantalizing their curiosity. We're declaring what God has said concerning his Son.
Now,
sadly, there are many that take this word and stand up before an audience and they preach to entertain. They like people laughing. They want people to feel good about them, the preacher. And so they're performers, they're entertainers. That is not a preacher of the gospel.
Come again to that point.
There are many today that when they stand up to preach and take this word to preach, they preach to entertain people. They want people to like them, and so they're nothing more than performers. These are ones of whom Paul said the Jews require a sign. They like something happening. They want to see something spectacular. And so that's why they come. And then there are others that say, no, we need to be serious about the word, but they simply preach to inform. They're like Paul described the Greeks. They desire wisdom. And so they gather around them people that are there to learn, and they inform people. They impress people with how much they know about the scriptures. These are teachers. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul, although he was trained at the feet of Gamaliel and would have been in his day one of the best theologians of the day, yet when he refers to all of that training, he calls it dumb. But what I see here in Acts 13 is the distinctiveness with which the Apostle Paul takes the Old Testament scriptures and preaches Christ. As we draw to a close of this message that he's declaring here in this synagogue, we don't find a man who is preaching to get decisions out of people. He's not up there begging them to please make some kind of decision for God. I find here a man who is preaching to the hearts and to the consciences of his hearers, not to their minds. Notice here in my text in Acts 13, 38 to 41, in verse 38, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren." There is something here that must be known. Now that word known doesn't mean to be learned by knowledge, but it is to be revealed. There is something here that must be known by a revelation of God. And then in verse 40, he says, "Beware, therefore." So there's something of which they must beware. You see, this is the urgency. It's not just preaching to inform. When you say to somebody, "Beware," then there's an urgency to it. There's a danger. And then verse 41, there's something here to behold. You see, if this was in English, it would make a great outline with B's. Be known, beware, and behold. I know it doesn't translate that way in Chichua, but that's what we have here. So this is the outline I want to use here in this message. And the first is when we talk about the clear, distinctive gospel preaching and what it is to be known, it's how God forgives sins and justifies sinners. That's what must be clear. Well, let me go ahead and continue to preach this in English, and we will come back here later for the Chichua as the Lord directs. So we're looking at the clear, distinct message of the forgiveness of sins and justification with God. This is what must be known in the preaching of the gospel. And you notice here in Acts 13 and verse 38 how this is declared with authority. Paul is not preaching this as if this were an option. He is preaching it rather as a declaration. And that's what the clear, distinct message of the gospel is. It's a declaration of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And what is it that hearers must know that hear the message of the gospel? Well, it says there in verse 38 that through this man, man is an italic, but in the original it would be as saying through this one unique person, this one Jesus Christ, this one seed of David, this one who is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scriptures, this one Lord Jesus Christ, through him is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And then it goes on and says in verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Now when it says are justified, you can go back and look at the response, or you can go back and look at the original, and it says there, all that have been justified, all that believe have been justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. clear and distinct message of preaching the gospel, which is a message of forgiveness of sins and justification before God. You see, he's not preaching to inform, he's not preaching to invite, but he's preaching to declare how it is that God forgives sins and that sinners are justified. The forgiveness of sins is declared in verse 38, and the justification by God is declared in verse 39. That's the sum of distinctive gospel preaching. If we're not telling sinners clearly how it is that sins are forgiven and how it is that they are declared righteous before God, then we're not preaching the gospel. Now it's pretty simple. Very clear that he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is not in men or in their works. Forgiveness is in this man, one person by whom God forgives sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Paul declares there in Romans chapter 5, that it is by one man, even as it was by one man that sin entered into the world, verse 12, Romans 5, 12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. As you go down and read, he goes on to declare that by one man, that is, by one obedience, down in verse 19, shall many be made righteous.
Paulo kufuna kuonetsera mele chimo lidabwelela mdziko lapansi adayamba kuforokozera ndimaka tofu kuchimo kudalo mdziko lapansi sindi munthu mmodzi kuti kuti ifaida fikira anthu onse pamwe onse adachimwa pamene ndima ya 19 amunda kumaso ndi mele chikumu kusumbalo chida chimodzi amene ke kuitu kwa zera mwesu akwadalunga mitsidwa.
See, this is where men today in preaching confuse the matter. They get into conditional preaching. They say, well, if you do this, then God will do this. Or if you don't do this, then God won't do this. That's confusing preaching. Distinctive preaching is declaring unto sinners that salvation is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, that's his person, God in the flesh, his work. He came to work out that perfect obedience and lay down his life that God might be just and declare righteous everyone for whom he paid the debt. That's the gospel. That's distinct. It's in God's hands. It's not man's.
Chapter
The simple, clear, distinct, plain message of the gospel is that by this man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, by his merit, salvation was purchased for his people. So that expression in verse 38, be it known, that doesn't leave room for anything. Be it known that by this one man is forgiveness of sins. By this one man, sinners are justified. It's by his merit that this was procured. If you want to know anything of forgiveness and justification before God, it's in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice also in verse 39, it's not only by his merit, but it is in his name that it is procured. It says, by him all that believe are justified. Our believing doesn't justify us, but our believing is in him who justifies. You see, it's in his name that this forgiveness and justification are procured. And thirdly, it's by his authority. So it's by his merit, it's by his name, and it's by his authority. This wasn't Paul determining who would be justified or forgiven. He says, in this one. And that's what we do. We don't presume to save anybody or convert anybody. That's God's work. But we declare that if there is to be forgiveness of sins, if there is to be that justification that Christ accomplished at the cross, that it's by his authority that it is bestowed.
Christ
The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's by his merit. That's by his name. That's by his authority. Salvation is with him, not man. So this is the clear, distinct message of the gospel, declaring unto sinners by whom it is that God grants forgiveness and justifies sinners. It's in, by, through, and to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Anyone who does not know this, or in whom this has not been revealed, because that's what it means, be it known, be it revealed, be it taught unto you. Anybody that does not know this and rest in this doesn't know salvation. Most of the preaching done today is a little bit of Jesus Christ and a little bit of the law, a little bit of grace, a little bit of works. There's no room for that here in distinct gospel preaching. If you walk into a room and shine the light and there's cockroaches in that room, what do those cockroaches try to do? Run from the light. They go scampering to get away from the light. That's the way it is with clear gospel preaching. Where do men run when you declare unto them the clear message of Christ and Him crucified and forgiveness of sins and justification in His blood? Where do they run? They run to the law. They run to their works. They don't want to hear that it's all in this one. That's their rebellion. That would be our rebellion, but for the grace of God.
Sama
That's why Paul says there in verse 39, by him all that believe are justified. In the original that is, have been justified already. That's why they believe. Believing is the evidence of having been justified already through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is where if Christ doesn't reveal himself in you, you're going to twist the scriptures to your own ruin. It doesn't say by him that believe, all that believe shall be justified. It says are justified. This is a message that we preach every time we preach. It's not just once and again. You see, and it points sinners to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and him as that object of faith by whom sinners have already been justified by his work there at the cross. And that's why Paul again makes it plain at the last part of verse 39, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. If that's where you're looking for justification in any way to your personal obedience to the law, you will never find justification there. The justification is in Christ and his cross work. That's where sinners were justified. So that's the message of the clear, distinct gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that forgiveness of sins and justification before God is in by and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. that we continue to proclaim. There's no justification anywhere else.
Yes.
Now the second part of the gospel preaching that is distinct and clear is that it is a message of warning. See, most preachers today in religion like to end the message softly with an invitation and trying to get people to make some kind of decision. We don't find that anywhere in Scripture. What we find is a declaration of the truth as it is in Christ and then a warning. You see, the gospel is not an invitation. It's a summons. And you will either heed this warning or summons, or you will perish. This is the warning to the cockroaches that are trying to escape from the light. What do? You track them down and you kill them. Over the years, I've had people get mad and get up and leave and go down the road to some other place where they can hear what they want to hear, but that doesn't free them from accountability. Here's the warning. Here's the urgency in verse 40. Beware, therefore, if you think that there is forgiveness of sins or justification in any other way or place other than the person of Christ and that work that he accomplished at the cross, beware. Beware of looking to your will. Beware of looking to your works. Beware of looking to any personal effort, whatever it may be. There is no justification of sinners in anything other than the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware. Now, this particular warning that we read here in verses 40 and 41, where he says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and what? Perish." This is taken from the Old Testament prophet, because he says there, which is spoken of in the prophets. If you will look in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5, you will see that the Lord raised Habakkuk up to preach a message of warning and judgment for the people of Israel. You see, Habakkuk preached in a day before the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple the first time, when the Chaldeans or the Babylonians the Lord brought down and destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, and took a people into captivity in Daniel's day. That's what Habakkuk is warning them of here in verse 5 of Habakkuk 1. "Behold, ye among the heathen, among the Gentiles, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And here, Paul, like Habakkuk, was preaching in the days leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple the second time in AD 70. Christ had already told them as he went to the cross, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself, for your house is left to you desolate." So Paul's warning them, you can hide all you want to behind the garment of the law and being a Jew and having all of your work, but none of that will deliver you in the day of judgment. So Paul here through the word is making the connection between those in Habakkuk's day, where they certainly did see the destruction of that city and that temple, and now these in his day, this destruction of the city and the temple that was coming. And look what Paul calls them in Acts 13:41, despisers. Ye despisers, wonder and what? Perish. Because outside of Christ, there is nothing but perdition, perishing.
Ha,
But here, this is the clear, distinct message of the gospel, warning sinners. Because people don't like that term despiser. They don't like to think of themselves as God-haters. But I will tell you, if they are looking for any other way of salvation other than what Christ has already accomplished, then that's what they are. They're despisers and they perish. When he says there, behold ye despisers and wonder, it literally means to grow pale for shame and for fear. Not, you know, for us that have white skin, you can tell when somebody is ashamed, their skin changes color. I'm not sure for y'all how to translate that, but to grow pale for shame and for fear, this is speaking of sudden destruction. That they did not believe. See, people today are so used to hearing messages on God's love. This kind of preaching shocks them, but this is the distinctive message of the gospel. It's either Christ or perish. Paul is telling them, just like your ancestors back in the day of Habakkuk that were caught by surprise at the destruction of that city and that temple, even though there was all this religious activity going on, so be prepared in this day to be destroyed. That's what the word perish means. Destroyed by the Romans, your enemies. That's the fulfillment of this in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Now apanswa kutsimikizira kuti Yerusalemu watsopano uyu amakonokozesana kuti anthu onse amene sanga te kukhulupirira ndi uthenga uwu ndi anthu amene akonzekera kuchiwonongeko ndipo chiwonongeko chibwera ndithu ndipoyo sanga tenso kukhulupirira uthenga wabwino woterewu ayi.
Now, when Paul was preaching this, the destruction of Jerusalem was still another 30 years off. And yet, it came to pass exactly as the scriptures declared it would, because it says here, "For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." They thought, no, we've got our temple, we've got our protection, we've got our safety, there's not going to be any issue, and yet sudden destruction. And so it'll be in our day for many when the Lord takes us out. You see, every time that the Lord takes a person out in death, he's executing his judgment. We know the end of the world is coming, but either way, God is executing his judgment.
Ndinu zatazama 70 Yesu akapita kare kumwamba. Koma makorokozera zachiwonongeko zimene chiyikwere mzaka zipeto zimene zikubwera kutsogolo kuti kuli kuwonongeka kwa Yerusalemu. Chimene chiyi amatsimikizira chotera kuti ndipakaipera kuti kuti ndigwiritsa ntchito ine masiku anu ntchito imene simudzayikhulupirira wina akakuza. Amafuna kuwatsimikizira kuti anthu amene akhale cholowa mu ufumu wa Mulungu angakhale atawuzidwa uthenga wabwino. Samatha kukhulupirira, samkutha kuzindikira, maumaka amathupsana nawo ndi kumachitabe chimene akuletsedwa kuti asachite. Chifukwa uthengawo sulezipo kwa iwo kuti akukhulupirire.
So this is clear, distinctive gospel preaching to declare to sinners forgiveness of sins and justification before God in Christ alone, but also to warn all men that apart from this, there is nothing but condemnation and perdition.
Ndipo Yesu anakwaniritsa kupulumutsa anthu ake ntchito yonse inathera pa mtanda. Kunja kwa izi kulibenso chipulumutso. Anthu awuzidwe choncho, Yesu anabwera kwafera anthu ake. Anthu kuwuzidwa choncho, anenengafu kuchenjezeredwa ndi kuzindikira zoona kuti wonse amenetu sanapafere mphotho yawo ndi gehena ndipo sangathe kudzisintha kuti alowe mu ufumu wa Mulungu ayi. Chifukwa adayikidwiratu wakawonongeka. Ndiye Mulungu adayikidwiratu wakawonongeka, komanso adayikidwiratu wakupulumutsa. Ndipo adapulumutsiratu Yesu amene amafa pa mtanda.
I'll close by having you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11. Notice Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent," notice, "we may be accepted of him." What it is to be accepted in the beloved, accepted of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul says, "Wherefore we labor," he's talking about preaching the gospel, "that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." It's not a matter of us accepting God or Christ. It's being accepted of him. How is that but by his grace and through the person and work of Christ alone?
Ife tonse tiyenera kuonetsedwa kumpando wake. Kunatanga kuti siwe umene umamulandira Yesu Khristu ayi, koma iyeyo amachita kukulandira ndiyeyo kuonetsa. Iweyo umangotengedwa wachisomo chake, osati iwe mpanga kanthu.
Chichewa kuti cha kumbereka?
That's right. Chifukwa chake chachenso tifunitsitsa kapena kwathu kapena kwina kukhala akukondweretsa iye.
You see, it doesn't talk about us accepting him. It's talking about us being accepted of him. And that's only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the warning, because verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's talking about saved and unsaved. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment coming. Now here's the part where those left to their own devices will misunderstand Scripture, because it says that everyone, notice, may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. See, I used to believe and was taught that, well, I can be saved by Christ, but then I still have to give account for everything I did in my life, and there's going to be rewards or not rewards. All of that was what I was taught. That's not what this is teaching. You see, this word is not addressed to those in Christ who stand before that judgment seat, because we have no answer but him. He is our justification. But this word is addressed to others who think that by their works or by the law that somehow they're going to be justified. He's saying unto them, you will stand and give an account based on those works. But we know from Scripture, no one will be justified by the works of the law. That's why Paul says in verse 11, knowing therefore. See, this comes back to the message we've been looking at in Acts 13. Be it known therefore. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We declare Christ to them and we warn them that apart from his work of righteousness, there is nothing but condemnation. That's the clear, distinct message of the gospel. I pray the Lord will teach us that, first of all, we know for ourselves that we are in Him, accepted of Him through the blood and righteousness of Christ, but then to declare Him and Him alone to those that the Lord brings to hear us preach. I pray He will certainly teach us.
Yes.